Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
A young soldier was found curled up behind a tree. All around him, men were dead and dying of their wounds. When he was asked how he had survived such a battle, he said, "I was very scared, but my sergeant told me to stay behind this tree. As long as I stayed here, I would be okay." In his case, physical survival depended on following the instructions of staying where he was put. Spiritually, we're told where to be. We're told that we should be in Christ. And once we get in Christ, we should remain there. We should stay there. That's the subject for our lesson today. We hope that you are studying your Bibles regularly. In fact, you should make Bible study part of every day of your life. But we're very glad that you do take the time to join us for these broadcasts and invite you to continue to do so. If you are a regular listener, you know that a couple of weeks ago we began a new study based on John chapter 15. Jesus here uses the analogy of a vine and its branches to explain his relationship, that of the life-giving vine, to those of us who are his children. We've entitled this study, Five Secrets of Living. These things are not secret in that they're difficult to know or that God doesn't want us to know them, but rather man often ignores them and they go unlearned. Therefore, we consider them to be secret things. The first secret we looked at is that the secret of living is bearing fruit. Being alive and living are not really the same thing. In fact, there's much more to living than just being alive. We also found out that not everyone will bear the same amount of fruit. But when given enough opportunities and the talent that God gives us, we should all bear the amount of fruit that we are capable of bearing. We also have asked ourselves the question, how can I know that I'm bearing fruit? Well, we can look at our lives and see whether or not we are growing spiritually and whether or not we are producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We can also look at the fact that we produce fruit by planting the gospel into the hearts of good and honest people who are then converted to Christ and become Christians, and thereby we bear fruit for the Master. The second week of this study, we looked at the fact that the secret of bearing fruit is abiding in Christ. It's very important to stay in Christ once we are in Him. In fact, we are told that we cannot bear fruit if we're outside of Christ. So staying in Him is very important. Now, this week we turn our attention to the third lesson in the series, that the secret of abiding in Christ is obeying His Word. Up until this point, many may be very happy to say, that's right, we do need to bear fruit in order to truly be alive. Most would agree that you cannot bear fruit if you're not in Christ. But on this point, many stumble. The secret to bearing fruit is abiding in Christ. But the secret to abiding in Christ is obeying His Word. Now, this is one of the fundamental laws of the entire universe, that in order to abide in a certain state, you must obey the laws that govern that state. Consider, if you would, the laws of nutrition. If we don't eat the right kind of foods, and we don't eat those foods in the proper amounts and at the proper intervals, then we won't be healthy. Look at an airplane as it flies through the air. As long as it obeys and follows those laws of aerodynamics, it remains in flight. But when it violates those laws, it then plummets to the ground. Also consider a child hanging from a tree limb. Gravity pulls down on his body with a force equal to that of his body weight, and as long as his grip is strong enough to hold him up, he remains in the air. But as soon as his grip weakens, then the law of gravity takes over and he falls to the earth. We see this in a million different ways every day of our lives. We understand it in almost every realm, but many deny it in the area of Scripture. Consider, if you would, that obeying in order to abide is a law, a fundamental law, even in Scripture. If we go all the way back to the beginning of time, we see that Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden. It was given them to be their home, and in that garden, God made provision for all of their needs. But He also gave them law. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 2, we find, "And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." God provided for their needs, but He also made a requirement that they not eat of that tree. When man sinned, he could no longer abide in that garden. God had given him a place to stay, but his sin cut him off from it. In fact, we find in Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 23, that God drove man out of the garden and put cherubim, these are heavenly beings with great power, there to guard the way so that man could not re-enter and could not partake of the tree of life. We find a very similar situation with the nation of Israel. God had promised to Israel, through Abraham, a land, the land of Canaan. Sometimes we refer to it as the promised land. But it was not to be given to them without stipulation, without condition. Rather, they were to do what God commanded. God warns them in Leviticus 26, beginning in verse 27, "And after all this, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins." Part of that chastisement was that if they were disobedient, God would expel them from the land. We find in Leviticus 26 and verse 33, "I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste." God had required that Israel be faithful to Him. If they would not obey, they could not abide in that land of promise. We could look at many examples. Saul, the first king of Israel, was given a throne, but he could not stay there because he did not remain obedient to God. But the Bible is also filled with many examples of those who were obedient. Let's go back to Abraham. We mentioned a minute ago that God made a promise to Abraham. That promise was based on his obedience. In Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 15, we read that the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. And in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." In this particular case, Abraham had offered his son as a sacrifice to God. Now, God did not allow him to kill his son, but the offering and the obedience was there. And for that, God rewards him with this particular promise. We find that God made a promise to Caleb. Caleb and Joshua, if you remember, were two of the 12 spies sent into the land of Canaan to spy it out. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, "We can overcome these people because God has given us the land." But the others, because of their lack of faith, were not ready to go. Based on his faith, Caleb was promised to have his own inheritance in that land. And it was some 45 years later, at the age of 85, that Caleb comes to Joshua. We read about it in Joshua 14, beginning in verse 9. Caleb reminds him that Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance, and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive." And he said, "These 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you have heard in that day how that Anakim were there, and the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him, and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. You see, when man was obedient to God, God blessed him. And when man is disobedient to God, God removes those blessings from him. We cannot abide in the blessings that God offers if we are not obedient to His Word. Now, the same is true for those of us today. Those of us living today have the same choice of faithful obedience or of disobedience. If we disobey, then we cannot enjoy the blessings that He gives. If we notice John chapter 11, beginning in verse 25, Jesus said to her, now the her here is one of the sisters of Lazarus who was dead at this time. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me, he shall never die. Do you believe this?" Oftentimes I'm afraid that we are not obedient because our faith is simply not strong enough. We don't believe enough either in the rewards or in the warnings that Jesus gives. But those rewards are real, and those warnings are true, and will be seen as true on that last and judgment day. We need to understand that in order to abide in the favor of God, we must be obedient to God. We've talked about obeying God and the fact that our obedience is necessary in order for us to abide in Christ, but our obedience is also necessary for us to enter into Christ. You know, the Bible says much about the blessings that exist in Christ and how we should live once we are a child of God and living in Him, but the Bible also says much about how we should enter Christ. Both in Romans chapter 6 and in Galatians chapter 3, we are told specifically how a person enters into Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, beginning in about verse 26, we're told that we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now we must live a faithful life in Christ, but in order to be in Him, we must enter into Him. And we do that through baptism. Now, of course, baptism itself would not be enough. Just being dunked in the water does not save us. But if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, are willing to repent of our sins, and confess our faith in Him before men, then we are eligible to be baptized. And by doing so, our sins are washed away. We call upon the name of the Lord for His saving power. And by His authority, we are added to the Lord's church. If we do those things, then we enter into Christ. Now, all of this obedience requires learning. It's not possible to obey, which is an act of willingness, something that we do not know. And it's not possible to know without learning it. Then you can study, you can know, and then you can know what to do to obey.